The title of the message today is Reactions and Readiness. We live in a busy day. And if you watch the news, we live in a reactionary day. Events happen in our lives that change the course of our lives. And sometimes it changes the course for eternity, not just this lifetime. Unfortunately, oftentimes, the one that can make the greatest change in our life is often ignored. And that's who we want to talk about today in the message. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. The message has 2 points. The first point is the work of faith. And I'm going to read about the work of faith in verses 11 through 21. Gospel Luke chapter 17, look with me at verse 11. And it came about while he was on his way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" He said to him, "Rise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look here, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Let's stop and pray. Father, I ask your blessing upon the reading of your word and the word that we will read after this. And I pray that you would just give me the power to say the words you would have me say. And may your Holy Spirit have free reign. Lord, if there's anything that would inhibit his work here today, I pray you would take it out. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit reach the hearts that need to be drawn to you. Lord, draw us all closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an interesting passage, and it seems like every time I go over this, I get something different from it. The point of this section is called the work of faith. The work of faith. And I want you to think of these 10 leprous men and compare that to where we are spiritually before we're saved. You see, leprosy was a death sentence, wasn't it? Leprosy is a disease that there was no cure for, and your flesh would literally just rot off your bones. You were not allowed to live amongst everybody else. You were in isolation. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was going through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem, these men were at a distance and cried out to him from a distance. They were not allowed to come near. When you're in this state as a leprous individual, you are condemned. And you know it's a death sentence. You have no hope. You probably have no help. You are in that state. Spiritually, that's where you are before you're saved. Before you receive God's gift of salvation, that's what sin does to us. And the Bible has compared sin to leprosy and what it can do. But you know what? Jesus can cure leprosy. Jesus can cure sin. He's paid the price for sin. And he can help you conquer sin. Because when sin is in your life, you're a slave to it. You think you're free, but you're not. My wife was talking to somebody about the things of the Lord, and yesterday, a lady, and she, Diane says, do you know, she said, well, I love God. I just do what I want. I'm a Christian, but I do what I want. Well, you know what? When you're committing sin, you're not really doing what you want. You're doing what the devil wants. And you're a slave to that sin. You say, no, I'm not. I could quit any time. I dare you. Quit sinning for a week and come talk to me. You can't. The power of God is the only thing that can do that. You're not strong enough, disciplined enough, or smart enough to not sin. Trust me, many have tried and failed. You see, sin is a hopeless state, so is leprosy. Jesus, in verse 14, gave them an interesting answer. They cried out and said, have mercy on us. And that's exactly what Jesus did with us in our sin. But Jesus had mercy on these leprous individuals. He just said, go, show yourselves to the priests. Why would he command them to do this? When you had leprosy, if you were cured of leprosy or it somehow went away, you had to go to the priest, show yourself to the priest, and the priest would say, yes, you're cured. There's no more leprosy. You're able to enter in the population and get with the regular people. The priest wasn't the one that was going to cure them of leprosy. Jesus said, just go show yourself to the priest. Now, wait a minute. They were looking and they could see it. It's obvious. Leprosy was an obvious disease. You knew what it was. They would probably look and say, well, why do I want to show myself to the priest? I still got it. You know what Jesus was telling them to do? He was commanding them not just to show themselves to the priest. Jesus was commanding them to believe. And that's exactly what he's done with us. He said, go show yourself to the priest. When you went to the priest, it was, you better be cured of it. You better be clean. Otherwise, he was going to send you right back to the leper colony. Jesus told them, go show yourselves. And as they went, they were cleansed. You see, Jesus put them in a position so he could see their faith. Why would you even start walking toward the priest's house? Why would you even start going in that direction unless you really believed it was going to happen? You know, when I asked Jesus to save me, it wasn't just one of those, well, I'll just ask him to save me just in case. No, when I asked him to save me, I believed and I knew and I trusted. And when you believe and you trust and you know long enough, you are convinced of it. Then the devil can't cause you to doubt. You know, if you're in doubt, you better get it settled. Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, we're kind of getting to the end of days. We're kind of there at the point. He's coming back, and he's coming back soon. And I hope it's today. I'll hold out to get Josh baptized, but I'm ready after that. I'm ready. We'll do this. You see, and God the Father is the one that sets that time, and he knows what's best. But you've got to be ready at any moment. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he will snatch us out of here. And you better be ready. What's interesting, you had 10 lepers, and I'm sure this priest, I can imagine when he got a knock on his door. 10 of them at one time. We're coming for you to check for leprosy. He checked. Yeah, you're clean. You're all good. Well, you see what's interesting about this. One of them said, I'm going to go back. He says, I'm going to turn back. I'm going to glorify God who healed me. He knew. And I'm going to go and recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, what happened to the 9? That could be the title of my message, Where's the 9? You see, only one of them returned grateful and thankful for what God had done. Only one of them really glorified God. The other 9, they got what they want. What did they want? They wanted to be cured of a disease. They wanted to be cured of the leprosy. See, they wanted the blessing of God, but they didn't want the God of the blessing. Isn't that what a lot of people are doing today? They want the heaven that God provides, but they don't want the God that provided the heaven. You know what? It's a package deal as far as I'm concerned. It's a package deal. Open your heart up. You open your heart up to God. If he puts me in heaven, I'm good with that. He promised he would, and he said he would. And I don't care where he puts me in heaven. I don't care. God's going to choose where he wants to put me. And you got to be okay with that. I want him as a person. Love the person of God. Don't love what he can just do for you. Otherwise, you're just using God. You're not loving God. You see, this is where it gets real. And this is why I preach the messages I do. 9 of them got the healing that they were looking for. And when they got what they wanted, they were gone. Have you ever met somebody you did that? You had a friend. They needed something that you could provide. And as soon as they got it, you couldn't find them anymore. They took off. They got what they wanted and they're gone. You know what? That's sad. But there was one that came back. There was one that had found time for Jesus. 9 of them didn't have time to come back and give God glory. 9 of them didn't have time to come back and thank Jesus, but one of them did. And you know, when we get saved, don't come down an aisle, make a decision, fill out a card, and then never look for God again. I wouldn't want to trust in that. I wouldn't want to trust that ticket to heaven. You know what? It needs to be real. You need to make time for Jesus. Devote your life to Jesus. Give him everything. You know what's interesting nowadays? It seems like people have time to protest, don't they? They have time to protest what they don't like. They're going to protest about it. By the way, just as a quick word on that, you can leave this in, Brother Don. People that want to disrespect our history, people that want to eradicate our history, are people that condemn all of us to repeat that very same history. The bad thing is, they condemn themselves to repeat it, but we're in that same boat with them because we're all going to have to go through it again. I've taught history for over 30 years, and it amazes me the ignorance that people have about our own nation's history. They just don't know. If they were being taught properly, if they were being taught the truth, they would know, and they wouldn't be acting like they're acting today. People got time to protest. Secondly, people got time to post what they think. People spend a lot of time posting what they think, and that's okay. But you know what? If I have time to protest, time to post, I got time for Jesus. Jesus comes first. People today got time to play. They got time to play. You know, try to get a golf cart at the golf course on Sunday. It's hard, isn't it? They got time to play. They got time to do a hobby. They got time to go do things, fun things. Do they have time to come here? People got time to plant. You say, are you picking on farmers? No, I use that as a good illustration because that's work. People make time to earn money or work. Do they make time for Jesus too? You know what? The things I mentioned here aren't wrong in themselves. These things I've mentioned are wrong when they outweigh Jesus. Anything in your life that outweighs Jesus is wrong because he has to be first. And that's where Christianity gets real. That's the difference between the Christians that Jesus is going to look at and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the kind of Christian that says, I've cast demons out in your name. I've done this. I've done that. And Jesus is going to say, it's here in the Bible. Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. Neither do you. Make sure that you're not going to. You know, where's the time for God? Where's the time for Jesus? You know what's interesting about this? Jesus looked at him and said in verse 19, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." That phrase right there tells us that this one leper that got cleansed, the one that came back, he got something the other nine did not get. He got his sins forgiven. Jesus, in that one statement, indicates this one guy had his sins forgiven. And he didn't earn it. It was given to him. But he came back. He wasn't satisfied with just being healed from leprosy. He wanted God. And when you get God, you get the blessings of God. When you have God in your life, you get everything else. Remember, I said it was a package deal. Speaking of a package deal, my second point, this is the work of faith. My second point is the work of faithfulness. Look at verse 22. "And he said to the disciples, 'The day shall come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away, do not run after them. But just as the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just as the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let not the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. And likewise, let not the one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two men in one bed, and one be taken, the other be left. There'll be two women grinding at the same place. One be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. And answering, they said to him, 'Where, Lord?' And he said to them, 'Where the body is, there also will be the vultures be gathered.'" Jesus is teaching them something very important here. First of all, you got to recognize the kingdom of God and what it is. The Jews were very interested in the kingdom of God. They were looking for somebody to come in, free them from Rome, set up the Jewish empire, and set up this kingdom. Jesus is letting them know real quick, the kingdom of God is already here. Because you got to learn who the kingdom of God is. It's me. You got to know who it is. It's Jesus. Yeah, he is the rightful king. And once you realize that, you got to realize he's setting the kingdom of God up. And he says, it's already come because I'm here. Now, I will tell you, he does clarify this. He says the kingdom of God is not outside people yelling here or there. They were looking for a political environment. He says it's inside us. Jesus started setting this kingdom up in every heart of every believer. And this transcends to anybody, the Jew, the Gentiles, anyone that would believe. And I thank the Lord for that. See, Jesus' first advent, when he came as that child, he said, first of all, I'm going to have to suffer and be rejected. He was talking about the crucifixion. He was talking about paying for our sin on the cross. The kingdom of heaven is the second advent. When he comes down and touches the Mount of Olives, it splits open. He sets up the millennial kingdom. We're talking about the millennium. Now, we believe the tribulation is going to happen between there too. We believe the rapture's going to happen in between these two advents. And that's what he's talking about. And that's my next point, is the race between the advents. See, faithfulness is determined how well you stick to something. Faithfulness is determined how you participate in something. And by the way, faithfulness is something getting harder and harder to find. Because a lot of people, I don't care if it's at a job, I don't care if it's a discipline, if it's a diet, if it's an exercise program, most times just hit or miss. 50-50. You know, trust me, we all know about that. But you know, when it comes to God, faithfulness is key. Consistency is key. We have to be found faithful in this race between the advents. He talks in verse 22 through 24. He said, there's going to be a lot of people out there saying it's over here, it's over there. We live in an age of many false Christs. Many people claiming to have the answer. Well, guess what? We have the answer right here in front of us in our Bible, and you better believe that. And you better believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Don't give credibility to the falsehoods. Don't give credibility to the false teacher. Don't give credibility to the cults. There are many false religions out there. We have to look at the one. Don't give the others credibility. Many false Christs. Jesus said, and He said, it's going to be obvious. Second Advent, no mistake. Just as lightning flashes there, you're going to see it. That'll be an exciting day. He said, I will have to suffer many things and be rejected. That short little verse, it holds a lot of what Jesus did while He paid for our sins. But then in 26, and just as it happened in the days of Noah. Now, this list of things, and it got my attention because it said eating and drinking. And when I see that, I think, you mean I can't eat anymore? Is that bad? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, these are not bad things. What he's basically letting them know, the people in Noah's age were so wrapped up in what they were doing, they had no time for God. Isn't that why our churches are half empty? Isn't that why prayer meeting, it's hard to find anybody? Because people are so busy today. They're wrapped up in their own things. Well, guess what? They're doing just what they did in the days of Noah. They were caught up in all that they were doing. And it wasn't all sin. It was good things. But they put God back here. They only had time for God when nothing else was coming up. Nothing else better came along, so I might do this. You know, that's the wrong way. And he said at that day when the flood came, it destroyed them all. Yeah, they were busy. They had a lot of big plans. They were in the middle of doing things. But you know what? When the flood came, everything stopped. When Jesus comes back, whatever big plans you got, whatever you got going on, it's all going to stop. Because nothing else matters. In the days of Lot, he used Lot as an example too. Lot, he mentioned that they were eating, they were drinking, they were building, selling, they were planting, they were doing all this thing. They were making money. That's exciting. It was great economy. But you know what? They were so busy doing these things. And we know the problems that they had in Sodom. And we know their morality had slipped away and they had forgot God. They didn't have time for God. And when you don't have time for God and you forget about God, you pretty much are doing just what the flesh tells you. Sounds too familiar with today's society. They're listening to their flesh instead of God. And you know what? The day that sulfur and brimstone rained down upon Sodom, the only thing Lot and his family could do was get out. Leave it. And you know what? No matter what plans they had going, it changed that day, didn't it? God pounded that thing with fire and brimstone. And they say if you look on a satellite map, you can still see a scorched area there by the Dead Sea. They think that's where it is. And it wasn't just because God got angry. It wasn't just because God couldn't take it anymore. No, it was because God is righteous. And you can't get around God's righteousness. The blood of Christ is the only way we can come clean with a righteous God. And the blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. And there's a little phrase in here that made you stop and think. Remember Lot's wife. She didn't quite make it, did she? She looked back. She longed to look back. She was holding on to the world. And you know what? I think the devil has used that to keep a lot of people from receiving Christ. If you could interview people in hell, how many of them would tell you, well, I had an opportunity, but I just was afraid of having to give this up, or I was so wrapped up in this, I wouldn't. Listen, don't be one of those people. Because there's nobody going to interview people in hell. The people that are going to spend eternity in hell, nobody cares what they want to protest about. The people in hell, nobody cares what they want to post. Nobody's going to be reading their stuff. Nobody's going to be interested in what's going on with them. God's going to wipe away all tears with the people in heaven. We're not going to think about them. He has to do that to keep us from being brokenhearted for eternity. We've got to realize what's at stake. Jesus said there's going to be people, one will be taken, one will be left. He talked about night and day on the same day. That's interesting. He's talking about how the sun goes around. A lot of people didn't even understand that at the time because they didn't realize that it was light on one side and dark on the other side of the earth. He said some are going to be taken, some one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. You just got to make sure you're the one that Jesus takes with him. And the way you can make sure is when there's an invitation and opportunity for you to do exactly what Josh did. Ask Jesus to come in his heart and save him. That's what he did. Childlike faith. Just trust. Just believe. That's what he did. And guess what? He's going to be taken with Jesus. He's going to be in heaven. He's going to be there with me. Is he going to be there with you? And if not, you make sure you get that settled before you leave the doors of this building today. Would you bow with me? As they come for an invitation hymn, I have to give you an opportunity to respond. And this is the best time. You just come forward. Say, I need to ask Jesus to save me. We'll go pray over here at the pew. You sit there. We'll take care of it. Father, I ask you, Lord, if there's a decision to be made for salvation, for baptism, for church membership, for dedication or just prayer, I pray that we'll make that decision today and we'll not be ashamed. Lord, help us